Rav Herschel Schechter, Shuva Shir, September
26, 1990. So his father asked him, did you say Kiddush before you ate on Yom Kippur? So he said, no. He said, why not? You're eating on Yom Kippur, so why shouldn't you say Kiddush? He always was very sharp. His tshuvas are always very, very sharp. But he said, no. The Gemara says that the whole idea of children doing mitzvahs is mitam chinuch. You have to train them so that when they get older, they'll do the mitzvah after bar mitzvah. But after I'll be bar mitzvah, I won't be eating on Yom Kippur, so I won't be saying Kiddush. So there's no use in saying Kiddush now. There's no mitzvah chinuch. The question is that really so? Let's say there's a person, an older person, a choyla, a zaken, whom the doctor says has to eat on Yom Kippur. He's not doing any aveira, it's a mitzvah. The same way it's a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur for those who are healthy, it's a mitzvah to eat for those who have to eat. But what if an older person has to eat on Yom Kippur? Does he say Kiddush or not? The Gemara says that it's a biblical obligation, it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to recite Kiddush. On Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, and on Yom Kippur. Min HaTorah Yoyotze the Kiddush just by reciting the words without any cup of wine. That's how we pass in the different opinions. That's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. So when you daven Nishman Esh and you mention that today is Rosh Hashanah, today is Shabbos, today is Yom Tov, so Yoyotze the Kiddush there, right? But the Rabban that made it Takhmani that one should recite the Kiddush Al Hayayim. So should one who is eating on Yom Kippur recite Kiddush Al Hayayim? So the Magen Avraham on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in his commentary on the Aruch Hayim, quote, there's a dispute about this. One who has to eat on Yom Kippur, should he recite Kiddush Al Hayayin or not? And it's generally accepted that not. That since reciting Kiddush Al Hayayin is only the Rabbanan, and after one is Yaitu Kiddush just the Dvarim, and the person Davin Shman Esrei, and he just recites the Bracha, he thanks the Rabbanan Shalom for giving us Shabbos, for giving us Yom Tov, for giving us Yom Kippur, he's Yaitu Nathur. The Kiddush Al Hayayin, holding a cup of wine, is only a Takana with the Rabbanan. So the Chachamim never made a takana on Yom Kippur because normal healthy people are supposed to be fasting on Yom Kippur. So everybody relies on the din d'oraita. That's the way it generally is. And the question is, what about this year? When Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so because of Yom Kippur, it wouldn't be required to recite Kiddush Al Hayayin. The Chachamim never made a takana. But every Shabbos of the year, the other 51 Shabbos of the year, there is a takana with the Rabbanan to recite Kiddush Al Hayayin. So this week should be the same. So the normal healthy people who are able to fast, of course, are not going to say any Kiddush. You're not allowed to drink the wine. The Kiddush has to be B'machem Suda. So even if we would say Kiddush and give the wine to someone else, we wouldn't be eating any Kiddush. It wouldn't be B'machem Suda. But what about the people who have to eat? This Shabbos, the people who have to eat, should they recite Kiddush or not? The Rebbe Akiva Eger on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, and the big Shulchan Aruch, has a comment and he says, yes. He says that a normal Yom Kippur, there's no takanas chachamim to recite Kiddush al Hayayim, because why should the chacham make a takan? Everybody's supposed to fast. But on Yom Kippur that falls out on a Shabbos, and the Tam Shabbos one is obligated to recite Kiddush Al Hayayin. So the people who fast, of course, I'm not going to say Kiddush, but the people who have to eat are required to recite Kiddush Al Hayayin. The later Poskim don't accept this idea of Rebbe Kiveger, the Chaye Yodam, and Hilchas Yom Kippur, and the Balatanya, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and the later Poskim all say that it's not so. That even this year, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, if somebody has to eat, whether a child is eating, or an older person, or a sick person is eating, so there's no takanas kachamim that he should recite Kiddush Al Hayayin. The question is, why not? He maybe has a good argument. On a regular Yom Kippur not, but this year is Shabbos, so why shouldn't he be obligated to recite Kiddush Mitam Shabbos? So in the yeshivas, this is a famous discussion, and it runs as follows. There is a hakira, there is a question. When you have a certain day of the year that's endowed with two Kedushas Hayom, let's say Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so it's a double header. Or Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. So you have a Kedushas Hayom because it's Rosh Chodesh, and the day is endowed with a Kedushas Hayom because it's Shabbos. So this week is Yom Kippur and Shabbos. So should we assume that it's Yom Kippur superimposed on top of Shabbos, or Shabbos superimposed on top of Yom Kippur, whatever you want to say? The day happens to have two independent Kedushas Hayom which are coexisting, or should we somehow assume that it's Shabbos Yom Kippur hyphenated, that the two blend in together to constitute a new form of a Kedushas Hayom? There's a Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, and there's a Kedushas of Yom Kippur, and there's a new thing, there's a new animal that's called Shabbos Yom Kippur hyphenated. So in yeshivas, there's a big discussion about this. What's the difference from the Dreita Him to the Dreita Hevav? So Avichai Kovitz used to say a Chakira that doesn't have enough Kamina, it's Nishke Chakira. What's the difference when you say that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, it blends into the one Kedushas Hayayim or the two independent Kedushas Hayayim? So in yeshivas, they have all the enough Kamina. In yeshivas, we've worked everything out. We've had yeshivas for hundreds of years. So they've worked out the following discussion. The din is that if a person eats on Shabbos, and when you finish eating, you have to recite the Birch Samoz. And what if in reciting Birch Samoz, you forgot to say instead? Those that mention it today, Shah. So the Gemara says that you have to repeat the Birch Samoz because one is obligated to eat a Suda on Shabbos and to declare and to make the Suda into a Suda Shabbos by reciting Kiddush in the beginning and by mentioning you say in the Birch Samoz and at the end. What about Yontif? If a person eats a Suda Yontif, the night of Yontif, the day of Yontif, he eats a Suda Yontif and he benches and he forgot to say Yal Yom. So again, the Gemara says, you're not Yotzei the mitzvah, Birchas HaMoz, you're Yotzei, but you're not Yotzei the mitzvah of Sudas Yontif. In order to be kaveh the Suda as a Sudas Yontif, we require again, you should say Kiddush in the beginning, and you should mention Yal HaVyav and the Birchas HaMoz at the end. What if it's Rosh Chodesh, Yal HaVyav, or Chol HaMoed, and the person ate a meal, he had a sandwich, and he forgot to mention Yal HaVyav and the Birchas HaMoz? So the Gemara says, then you don't have to repeat the Birchas HaMoz, because on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, true, a person is forbidden to fast, but he's not obligated to have a Suda Rosh Chodesh and have Hamotzi and bench Birchas HaMoz. As long as he has a banana, a potato, whatever, he has a cup of coffee, so he's not in violation of the Yisr Tonus. He's not fasting on Chol HaMoed, he's not fasting on Rosh Chodesh. And he wasn't really obligated to have pot, to have a meal of bread, and to have Birchas HaMoed and to recite Yal HaVyav. Even if he happens to have bread, and he has to recite Birchas HaMoed, and he really should have said Yal HaVyav, but if he benches and he forgot Yal HaVyav, he certainly yaitzeh the Birchas HaMoed. And he can't say he's not yaitzeh the Suda. What Suda? When Suda? He's not obligated to have a Suda Rosh Chodesh. He's not obligated to have a Suda Chol HaMoed. The question is, what? Yeah, that's a different story. Okay. So the question is, what if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos and the person is obligated to have Shabbos Shudas? Three Sudas, a Suda on Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos Shudas. And he recites Birchas HaMazon, fine and dandy, and he said Ritzei, and he forgot Yal HaVyav and the Birchas HaMazon. So, on the one hand, you can say he doesn't have to bench over the Birchas HaMazon because what did he forget? He forgot Yal HaVyav. No, Rosh Chodesh, you're not obligated to have a meal. But on the other hand, what do you mean Rosh Chodesh, you're not obligated? But today, this Rosh Chodesh, you were obligated to have a meal because it happens to be Shabbos. Yeah, but that obligation that you have to have a meal is on Shabbos. Accidentally, today happens to be Shabbos. As a second, coincidentally, it happens to be Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. But the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is not mechayev you to have the Suda, or maybe I should say no. It's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated. The two Kedushas Hayoms blend in to constitute one new Kedushas Hayom. It's not Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated constitute a new type, a new form of a Kedushas Hayom. And today, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated, both together are mechayev us in the Suda Shabbos. So what's Taka the Din Halacha L'Maisa in such a case? That's the Machlekes. Machlekes in the tour. In the Shulchan Aruch, there's no machlekes. The din is that you yotzei. Again, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos and the person ate Friday night, and he ate Shabbos morning, and he ate a meal with challah and everything, and he benches, he says Birchas HaMoed, and he remembered to say Ritzei for Shabbos, but he forgot to say Yal HaVyav for Rosh Chodesh. So the tour, the son of the Rosh, the tour that the whole Shulchan Aruch is patterned after the tour, quotes that he had a dispute with his brother. The Rosh had more than one son. Rabbi Yankov Balaturim is the famous son, then he had other sons. So the Torah writes he had a dispute with his brother about this, and in the Shulchan Aruch we task him that you don't have to repeat the Birchas HaMoed. Why? Because it's only Shabbos that obligates you to have the Suda. Rosh Chodesh doesn't obligate you to have the Suda. There is also a famous discussion, even though this Taka from Hasidus Rebbe, from the Avnei Nezer Taka, but it's known in the Yeshivas. Yeshivas, they say, oh, in the name of the Avnei Nezer, the following discussion. The Gemara has in Maseches Erech and Daf Yud, a discussion of the obligation to recite Halach. When do we say Halach? On Yom Tov, we say Halach. I think for sure it's when we say Halach. So the Gemara asks, what is Halach based on? It's an expression of Simchas Yom Tov. There's a Simchas Yom Tov by Achil Oshtiyo, by Simchas Tavuch, and then one has to express Simchas HaNefesh by reciting Halach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by praising God. So the Gemara says, well, what about Rosh Chodesh? The Chumash says, of Yom Simchas Tov Meredech, and Rosh HaShechem, the Chumash puts together Rosh Chodesh together with all the other Yamim Tovim. That would appear, that's how the Torah writes in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, would appear in the name of the Gaon, he quotes, that there is some type of a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. So shouldn't that Chiyuv Simcha obligate us to recite Hallel on every Rosh Chodesh, which we don't do? We only recite Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And the Gemara says, in the end of Masechet Tainus, that's only a Minhag. It's It's not a real obligation. The Gemara, in fact, tells a story that one of the Chachamim, Rav, who was a student of Rav Yudah Nosi, when he came to Bavel, he was unaware of this meeting, never heard of it in his life. Rav Shmuel, the famous Rav, learned in Eretz Yisrael, came to Bavel, never heard of it. They walked into Shul on Rosh Chodesh one fine day, Balabatim was singing away Halal. The Gemara says, Tavel Apsikinu. He was going to go over to the Chazan Shalom to stop. What are you saying, Halal, in the middle of the year? It's not Pesach Shavuot of Sukkot. Then, Kevin Nechoza, the Kamadalgi Dilugi, when he noticed that they're skipping every other paragraph, he was apparently they died pretty quickly. He wanted to walk over to the Chazan when he started saying Halal. He wanted to walk over to tell him not to stop saying Halal. So by the time he walked over, he was probably standing in the Mizrachot, no, Rav. So by the time he walked over to the Chazan, he had already skipped a chapter. We say two chapters in Halal, then we skip the third chapter. No, he had already skipped the chapter and is ready in the fourth chapter of the Halal, the fourth section. So he realized that something different. He knows that on they know on Pesach Shavuot says if you don't skip, you say Gantal. The Rav realized it must be a minig. Oh, it's a minig, so let them do their minig. So he recites the Chati Halal and Shavuot. But that's not a real obligation. Martha says it's a minig that they never heard of in Eretz Yisrael. No, it's a universal minig to recite the Halal. So in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the early Amoraim, they didn't have this minig in Eretz Yisrael to recite Chatzihal. So the Gemara asks in Erech and Daf Yud, why not? If Halal is an obligation to be recited on Yom Tovim as an expression of Simcha Tzion, says, no, Amor Shvedim is also an obligation of Simcha, so why isn't one obligated to express that Simcha by reciting Halal Shalei? So the Gemara says, no, the Rosh Chodesh really only has the Kedusha Sayyim in the Beis HaMikdash when you bring the Korbanos HaMusafim. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you're permitted to do Malacha, and there is nothing that you do. You don't shake a lulav on Rosh Chodesh, you don't eat matzah, you don't have a seder, you don't blow shofar, there's no mitzvah. So there's no way to demonstrate it. All we do is we say Yalav Yavim, davening, we say Musaf, that's the davening. But there's no mitzvah outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the Gemara says, because Rosh Chodesh is loy igdish basiyas Malacha, because it doesn't have a Kedushas Hayom and a Geir to Malacha, so the whole Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Chodesh is limited to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says it doesn't make sense to recite Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Then the Gemara says, no, what about Shabbos? Why not recite Halal on Shabbos? Shabbos, you have an Issur Malacha. So that's all over the world, you have an Issur Malacha. The significance of Kedusha Shabbos is not limited only to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, yes. Shabbos has significance all over the world, not limited to the Beis HaMikdash. But there's no Chiyuv Simcha on Shabbos. Shabbos is not called the Moed. So the Abinezer, what was a Chassidish Rebbe? So he gave one Shabbos Shudas Torah. He used to say, Halacha, Agoda, Drush, Chassidus, everything all together. He once gave Shabbos Shudas Torah on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and this kasha he started off Rosh Chodesh. You don't say Malacha because it's Mutar Basiyas Malacha. Shabbos you don't say Halacha. You don't say Halacha Rosh Chodesh because it's Mutar Basiyas Malacha. Shabbos you don't say Halacha because it's Nachiyim Simcha. Rosh Chodesh you don't say Halacha because it's Mutar Basiyas Malacha. But if you have Rosh Chodesh Shachami is the Shabbos, so you have everything. It's also Basiyas Malacha. And it's a chiyuv simcha because it's called Moed, Rosh Chodesh is the Moed. So why don't you say Halel Shalem, which we don't do, when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, why not say Halel Shalem? And we don't. We only recite Chatzi Halel, and we assume that it's the same old minhag as on every Rosh Chodesh. And the Spartans have the practice that they don't recite a bracha when they do a minhag. They don't say a bracha, Shekir Shalem, and it's also a tzivonah. It's not a mitzvah, and it's not a mitzvah, they're a bonah. But they don't say a bracha when they say Chatzi Halel on Rosh Chodesh. So why is it that when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, why shouldn't we be obligated in Medina to recite Halal Shalom with a bracha l'chol ha'deis? That was the Avnei Nezer's kasha. So instead, he started off his drasha by saying he doesn't think that it's a kasha at all, because when you have Rosh Chodesh falling out on Shabbos, it's not a new thing that the two kedushas combined together, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh hyphenated. It's Shabbos l'chud and Rosh Chodesh l'chud. So Shabbos doesn't obligate you to recite Halal because Shabbos is not a moed. Shabbos has no chiyuv simcha. And Rosh Chodesh that has the chiyuv simcha is Mutar Basiyas Malacha, so Rosh Chodesh is not Machayiv in Halal. So if they have zero and zero, so you add together nothing with nothing, so you're left with nothing. It doesn't add up to anything, so you can't have any Chiyuv to recite Halal. The Teretz that they have in the gave, then he gave Alderach HaChassidus, the whole drasha, what's the nature of the Kedusha Tayyayim and Rosh Chodesh Chol Yizbishav. But the Teretz that he gave is all working on the assumption, on the premise, that when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, the two Kedushas do not blend in to constitute one new Kedusha Tayyayim. If you would have said, like the other opinion, that Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh blend in together to make a new Kedusha Tayyayim, then you have a strong kasha. Why shouldn't you recite Halal Shalem Mitzad Iker Adin on Rosh Chodesh Chol Yizbishav? So that's how we assume Halacha L'maaseh. When Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, they're two separate Kedusha Tayyayim. And if the person recites Birchas Hamazon and he said it today, but he forgot the Halal Yavoy for Rosh Chodesh, he wouldn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. And that's why we assume since they're two separate Kedusha Tayyayim, one superimposed upon the other, and they don't blend in to constitute one new type of a Kedusha Tayyayim, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated, so that's why we assume that there's no obligation to say Halal Shalem. Yeah, so this doesn't, this is the way we assume that when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, the two Kedushas don't blend in to constitute one Kedushas. It still doesn't necessarily prove what the din should be when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. It doesn't necessarily prove that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the two don't blend into one Kedushas. Maybe it's only Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is Mutar Ba'asiyas Melacha. There are some things that just don't blend in. You can mix the, I don't know, if you mix the water with oil, it's not going to blend in. They're different. But there are some things that do blend in. So maybe Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos are non-blendable. Maybe Yom Tov and Shabbos, along the same lines, Yom Tov has an Isa Malacha and Shabbos has a bigger Isa Malacha. So maybe those two do combine. Maybe Yom Kippur and Shabbos blend in even better, because on Yom Tov you have a Heter Reichel Nefesh. You're permitted to cook on Yom Tov, you're permitted to carry it. Yeah, if you have to, even if there's no air, you're permitted to carry things that you need on Yom Tov. On Yom Kippur you're not allowed to carry, you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to do anything. Yom Kippur is exactly the same as Shabbos, an Isa Malacha with no Heter Reichel Nefesh. So maybe one should say that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the two Kedushas blend in together. But that's the way they say in the yeshivas. The Olam HaYeshivas, they say in the Yemim, the Yor Sameach, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the two Kedushas Hayom blend in to constitute one new Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, Yom Kippur hyphenated. And therefore, the Kasha, the He'ora that Rabbi Kivega brought up, that on a normal Yom Kippur, when a person has seeds, we understand why he doesn't recite Kiddush, why there's an obligation to recite Kiddush. The Rabbanim would have a Masakeh in Kiddush Alayayim, because under normal circumstances, people are not going to eat on Yom Kippur. But when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, that's Shabbos, so why isn't Shabbos mechayiv you to recite Kiddush? The Mishivas, they say, namely Yor Tamech, and his commentary on the Rambam, no, this coming Shabbos is not Shabbos. No, it's not Yom Kippur, and it happens to be Shabbos. It's Shabbos Yom Kippur, a new thing. It's the third thing. It's not Shabbos and it's not Yom Kippur. Shabbos Yom Kippur hyphenated. Shabbos Yom Kippur hyphenated, there's no obligation to say Kiddush. No, on a normal Shabbos, there's an obligation to eat Chalashudas. This Shabbos, it's not that there's an obligation to eat Chalashudas, but you're prevented from fulfilling it because on the other hand, it's Yom Kippur. There's no conflict. It's not on the one hand, on the other hand, we're going to have to figure out this. The tug of war, we're going to have to figure out what's going to win, who's going to win. Shabbos is going to win, Yom Kippur is going to win. No tug of war. The two blend in together. Shabbos Yom Kippur blend in together. So that's why it's generally assumed that even on this Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, Shechali is B'Shabbos, for those who have to eat, for the children or the older people or the Chaylim, Muskenim, have to eat on Yom Kippur, one doesn't recite Kiddush. There never was a Takonas Chachamim to recite Kiddush Alayayin on this Yom Kippur, Shechali is B'Shabbos, because it's a new thing. It's not that it's a Shabbos. It's a Shabbos Yom Kippur with a new type of Kedusha Chayim. It's interesting, there is yet another Nafkimina. In the yeshivas, they don't discuss this Nafkimina. This is for the Siddur, this is for Balabatim. Yeah. Yeshivas, they have their topics that they discuss, and they leave other things for the Balabatim. But in the Siddur, if you look in a big Siddur, the Oitzat Tfilas, they have on the bottom of the page, they had big Gedolim, broke their heads, to figure out what's going on in the Siddur. In yeshivas, they like to break their heads on other things, but the real big Gedolim figured they learned everything, the Siddur and Tanakh and everything, gotta learn everything, not just Gemara and Shulchanah. So in the Siddur there is a discussion. This Shabbos, when we daven Shemayin Esrei and you say Yalla V'Yavoy, or let's say Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. So when you daven Shemayin Esrei and you say Yalla V'Yavoy, you say Yalla V'Yavoy Agiyah B'Yerav Yotov Shama Yipav Lizot V'Chanei Yisrei V'Yerav V'Yoyim Chagamatzis Hazeh. Do you mention also the fact that it's Shabbos? V'Yoyim HaShabbos HaMaroyach Hazeh or V'Yoyim Chagamatzis Hazeh? Shabbos and it's Yom Tov, so they only mention Yom Tov. So the old practice of the Balei HaTaisus was that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, and when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, and when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, and you daven in Shemayin Esrei, and you say Yalla V'Yavoy, you mention the Yom HaShabbos HaMaloach Hazeh, or the Yom HaShachodesh Hazeh, or the Yom Shabbos HaMaloach Hazeh. Maloach means the day of rest, the whole day of Shabbos, day of rest, or the Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh, the Yom Chag HaShavuot Hazeh, whatever happens to be. And that's the way, believe it or not, that's what it says in the big Shulchan Aruch. Not the Mechaber, the Ramor. Mechaber, the Sfardim follow the Mechaber. The Ramor tells you what the Ashkenazim do. The Ramor says that when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos and you say Yalav Yov in the davening, you mention the Yalav Yov, the Yom HaShabbos HaMarech HaZeh, the Yom HaGamatzos HaZeh. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to do. Now he's not well. That was his practice. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Balei HaTaisus did. When they daven Shemayin Esrei, when they said Yalav Yov, when it was Yom Tov, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, and Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, they would mention the Yom HaShabbos HaMarech HaZeh, the Yom HaShachodesh HaZeh. The Mishnah Brura by the Chavetz Chaim on the bottom of the page quotes that even though that's what the Ramor writes in the 1500s, that was the practice in the Balei HaTaisus in the 1200s, the 1100s, and the 1000s, that's not the practice any longer. He quotes the thousand among Avraham and all the commentaries on the Shulchan. We don't do that anymore. As it says, printed in every Siddur. Every Siddur has like that, has Yalav Yavoy, right? It doesn't say, but Yom HaShabbos HaZeh, Yom HaShabbos HaManeh HaZeh. We don't mention Shabbos and Yaldiyov, why not? So if you look in the big siddur, the Eitz HaTzvila, they quote on the bottom of the page, great Goyna Yoylam. They used to learn siddur, the Ilan Heitbe. So they quote Rabbi Shai Berlin, every 10 pages. They have comments from Rabbi Shai Berlin. Same one who wrote comments on the side of the Gemara, wrote comments on the side of the siddur. Longer comments on the siddur than he has on the side of the Gemara. So he writes, our practice is that we don't mention Shabbos and Yaldiyov for the simple reason. On a normal Shabbos, you don't say Yalav Yavoy. Not in benching and that. And Shabbos Yechovi is Shabbos with Yom Tov together. Why? Because Yalav Yavoy is a tefillah. All of the tefillahs are patterned after some psukim in Tanakh. The Lashon HaTefillah has to be based on Tanakh. So what is the tefillah of Yalav Yavoy based on? So the Rishonim say, the Abu Dram and the other Rishonim say, based on the pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar. So the Torah says, you mentioned earlier, Yom Tov Mechatzim and Mayadech and Rosh HaShechem and Yom Tov. You should blow chatzotros in the Beit HaMikdash in conjunction with the Hakrovos HaMisachim. That's the pasuk we just said on Rosh Hashanah, on the end of the Shofaris. That's the 10th pasuk at the end of the Shofaris. It's interesting, the Nusach HaTfilah, just unrelated to tonight's talk. It's interesting, in the end of the Shofaros Brach of the Shmoneh Esrei on Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, so we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, rebuild Yerushalayim. And then, Shom Nasa Lefanacha, Korbanos Kavuseinu. No, that's what we say in, earlier we say, we will bring all the Tzmidim and all the Musafim. I don't know if this has, doesn't have for Rosh Hashanah?
No.
Oh, yeah, it does have. Maybe. No. No, it doesn't. So the, no, it's okay, that's it. So the in the last pasuk, right before the last pasuk of the Shofaris, we say we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. The Sham Nasa Lefanacha Korbanos Chavisenu. How do you translate? And there in the Beis Hamikdash, Nasa Lefanacha Korbanos Chavisenu, the korbanos, the sacrifices that we're obligated to bring, as it says in the pasuk. And then you're supposed to quote it. You just promise you're going to quote a pasuk that says about korbanos. We don't say there's an obligation to bring one. To say as it says. Here it is, in the Birba Makos on page 393. As Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us in the Torah, Mitzvah Yedecha Kol Mor, of Yom Tov Chaskam Adechem Rosh Hashechem, Uskaitem Machatzotis Alol Adechem, Zid Cheshamechem. It doesn't say you have to bring Karbonis. Yeah, it says you should blow Chatzotis in conjunction with bringing Karbonis. That's Derech Agav. By the way, the pasuk happens to mention that you're going to be bringing Karbonos. That's not the main theme of this pasuk. Very strange Lashon HaBrachah. So if you look in the big siddur, in the Eitz HaTfilah, the siddur is very different. So eventually used to say that Rav Chaim made, I don't know why he is there, Rav Chaim was his grandfather. All the Gedolim worked hard on him. He used to say Rav Chaim made the siddur into Sefer Limud. Because he gave a lot of shiur on brachas and on tefillah and on kriyashma. Before Rav Chaim also was a Sefer Limud. So if you look in the big siddur, in the Eitz HaTfilah, he quotes from Gedolim who think that there's a misprint here. That instead of saying Hashem Nasa Lefanachas Korbanos Chavisenu, the sacrifices that we're obligated to bring, you should say Hashem Nasa Lefanachas Chavas Korbanosenu. Just the opposite. Chavas Korbanosenu means the obligation that we have in conjunction with the Korbanos. So then you recite the pasuk. You have to blow Chatzotzos in conjunction with the Korbanos HaMisof. But the way we daven, we say, and then we will bring korbanos chavisenu, the sacrifices that we're obligated to bring, as it says in the Torah. And that's not the right pasuk. The right pasuk was quoted earlier. And then it says the korbanos. The wrong pasuk. So the pasuk says, the Yalav Yavoy, getting back to Arthur, the Yalav Yavoy prayer, which we recite on Rosh Chodeshim and on Yom Tovim, is patterned after this pasuk. We have an obligation to blow chatzotzos in the Beit HaMikdash in conjunction with the offering of the korbanos hamisofim. In conjunction with the korbanos that we offer, for what purpose should we blow chatzotzos? The purpose of the tzkiyas chatzotzos is that the Ribbono Shel Olam should remember us. So that's exactly why we substitute Yalav Yavoy V'Yagiyah Zichanenu V'Zichanenu 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 V'Zichanenu. We no longer have any Beit HaMikdash. We don't bring any Korbanos. In the Mela, we don't have the possibility to blow the Chatzotzos in conjunction with the Korbanos HaMisofim. But the purpose of the Chatzotzos was V'Hayu Lachem, the Zikaron of the Ribbono Shel Olam, should remember us. The Teiva, of course, remember us in Teiva, not the Ruah. So we recite the tefillos, b'makom karbonos, and b'makom everything else that comes with the karbonos. So we pray Abba Kadosh Baruch Hu. That but on Shabbos, the pasuk doesn't say that that Yibloch Hatzaitzis on Shabbos. So that's why we don't recite Yalav V'Yav on a regular Shabbos. We recite Ritzei and the Birchas Hamazon. Why don't you just say Yalav V'Yav and say Biyom Hashabbos Hazeh? Why do you have to have a whole different nusach? Whether it's Rosh Chodesh or it's Rosh Hashanah or it's Pesach or Shavuot or Sukkot or Chol Hamoed, you say Yalav V'Yav. You just change the line Biyom. Chalamoid as a Yom Chagamatzah and Chagasukah, so the same thing on Shabbos. Say Yalav V'Yav and say Biyom Hashabbos Hazeh. What's the problem? The answer is no. The whole nusach Yalav V'Yav Zichronenu Tignenu Zichron Kabei System Zichron Mashiach Nevinach doesn't fit in. There's no Chatzaitzis on Shabbos. There's no V'Hoyel Lachem Lizikore. But that's why we say a whole different nusach. We say Ritzei and the same thing on the Shemona Esrei. Why don't you just say Yalav V'Yav on Shabbos and the Shemona Esrei? Say Biyom Hashabbos Hazeh. No, we don't do that. You have a whole different nusach for Shabbos. Why? Because the whole idea of Yalav V'Yav Zichronenu Zichron Mashiach Nevinach, the whole thing only applies to Yomim Tovim to Rosh Chodesh. It doesn't apply to Shabbos. That's what the Gedolim Tainit do, say when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos. So why was the practice of the Bali HaTesis, and why does the Shulchan Aruch quote that, the Ramah quotes from the Shulchan Aruch, that when you recite the Yalav V'Yav in the Shemoneh Esrei or in the Birchas HaMazon, he say Yalav V'Yav B'Yom HaShabbos HaMoreach Hazeh or B'Yom Rosh Chodesh Hazeh, B'Yom HaShabbos HaMoreach Hazeh or B'Yom Chag HaMatzah Hazeh. What do you have to put in Shabbos for? Shabbos has no shaitis with Yalav V'Yav. Say, B'Yom Rosh Chodesh Hazeh. Shabbos doesn't fit in. So that's our practice. That's why we assume our practice today is that when you say Yalav V'Yav, you don't mention Shabbos. You only mention Yom Tov. That's exactly what. The question is, but what about this Shabbos? What about this Shabbos? When it's Shabbos Yom Kippur, and we assume Halacha L'Maaseh that when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, it's not that Ha'ilechudikoy v'Ha'ilechudikoy, that it happens to be Shabbos and happens coincidentally to be Yom Kippur, and each one is independent of the other. No, we assume that the two blend in to constitute the third type of the Kedushas Hayom, which is Shabbos Yom Kippur hyphenated, which is a new thing. You don't have conflict. It's not that on the one hand you have to fast, on the other hand you have to eat Shabbos Shudas, and you have to determine that the fasting beats out the Shabbos Shudas. And you got to say Kiddush, and you can't say Kiddush. You don't say Kiddush. There's no conflict over here. It's one big blend of Shabbos Yom Kippur blended in together. So if they blend in together, so not only is Yom Kippur the B'Hoyel Lachem L'Zikaron, Shabbos is also B'Hoyel Lachem L'Zikaron. So this the Shabbos, on Shabbos Yom Kippur, when you say B'Shmoneh Esrei, say Yalav V'Yav, you really ought to say B'Yom HaShabbos HaMoreach Hazeh, B'Yom HaKippurim Hazeh. If the whole reason why you leave out Shabbos and Yalav V'Yav is because Yalav V'Yav has no shaychus with Shabbos, but that's only on a regular Rosh Chodesh Chol is B'Shabbos. On a Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos, then each one is separate. But when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, the two blend in together to constitute one Kedushas Hayom. So then you really ought to say the both together. B'Yom HaShabbos HaMoreach Hazeh, B'Yom HaKippurim Hazeh. This is the discussion that they have in the Yeshiva. When Rosh Hashanah falls out, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Rosh Chodesh. What do you mean when Rosh Hashanah falls out? It always falls out on Rosh Chodesh. That's the question. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik going to say. Rosh Hashanah always falls out on Rosh Chodesh. Maybe there, for sure, you should say it blends in together. Maybe every other Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, that's a coincidence. It happened, I'll be mikra. It can fall out on Shabbos, cannot fall out on Shabbos. Even if it happens to fall out on Shabbos, they're two separate dishes. But it could be, could well be, makes a lot of good sense, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Rosh Chodesh, which it always does, that those two constitute one Kedushas Hayom. Okay, so here's Tov Rabbi Soloveitchik interpreted the Gemara based on this, that that's an exception to the rule. And when Yom Kippur happens to fall out on Shabbos, we assume that's also an exception to the rule, that the two blend in together, because they're blendable, because Shabbos and Yom Kippur are kemat the same. They both have an Issam Halacha without any Heter Reichel Nefesh. You're not allowed to cook, even for the children who are allowed to eat. You can't say you're not allowed to cook, because you're not allowed to eat. What if you have children who are allowed to eat? What if you have older people or sick people that are allowed to eat? You're still not allowed to cook. It's not that on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook because you can eat, and Yom Kippur you're not allowed to cook because you're not allowed to eat. It's not true. Half of the Jews are eating the Heter on Yom Kippur. And still not allowed to cook. So the Teretz is, it's an Eastern Malacha without a Heter Reichel Nefesh. So because Shabbos and Yom Kippur have similar Kedushas Hayom, that's why we assume that there the two Kedushas Hayom can blend in together. We have different levels of Kedushas Hayom. We have Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, lowest level. You have Kedushas Chol HaMoed, you have Kedushas Yom Tov, you have Kedushas Yom Kippur, you have Kedushas Shabbos. And the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim, a dispute among the Tanoim, which has a higher level of Kedushas. We always say, everybody knows the Balabat Mot day, that Yom Kippur is the holiest day in the year, it's Shabbos Shabboson, it's higher than Shabbos. It's not exactly so posh, because the Chumash calls Shabbos also Shabbos Shabboson. But just because Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbos doesn't mean that it's higher than Shabbos. Shabbos is also called Shabbos Shabbos. The Gemara has a dispute regarding how many aliyahs you give on Yom Kippur. You know, on a regular weekday, when you give a Kriyas HaTorah on Monday or Thursday, or on Chanukah and Purim, you give three aliyahs, that's all. And the day has something special to it, like a Chol HaMoed, like Rosh Chodesh, it has a bit of the Kedushas HaYom, then you give four aliyahs. It's already a little more important. When you have Yom Kippur, you give five aliyahs, plus Matzah, you give Matzah 7. And then, you're going to have Shabbos and you're going to have Yom Kippur. So these two compete. Which one is higher? Should you give six aliyahs on Shabbos and seven aliyahs on Yom Kippur? Or should you give six aliyahs on Yom Kippur and seven aliyahs on Shabbos? This is a dispute in the Gemara. The Masechet Megillah, where the Gemara talks about all of the laws of Kriyas HaTorah, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, Akiva was a mystic, a lot of Kabbalah, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Yom Kippur is higher, like all the Balabatim says. And Halacha Lamaisa, we passing like Rabbi Shmuel. Usually we passing like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel. Here's an exception to the rule. The Gemara passing like Rabbi Shmuel against Rabbi Akiva, as we all know that on Yom Kippur there are only six aliyahs plus Maftir. On Shabbat there are seven aliyahs plus Maftir. So we assume that the Shabbos Shabbos story, the health nechalsnish, that the Shabbos is higher than Yom Kippur. That the hierarchy is the highest, Lushas Hayam is Shabbos, and next is Yom Kippur, and lower down is Yom Tif, and lower down is Chol HaMoed, and lower down is Rosh Chodesh, and then you have the rest of the day. Yeah, other differences. It always brings people to wonder, why does the halacha make so many madregis in Kedushas HaYom? You have to have so many differences. The Shabbos is on top, and then comes Yom Kippur, and then comes Yom Tov, then comes Chol HaMoed, and lowest is Rosh Chodesh. Five levels of Kedushas HaYom. And the same thing, the Gemara is so detailed about Tashmishei Kedusha. The Gemara says that a Sefer Torah has a higher level of Kedusha than Tefillin. Why? So they're not right simple, because the Sefer Torah has so many parshas, and Tefillin only has four parshas. In fact, the Rambam has an interesting comment. El Soveitchik was fond of pointing that out. Let's say I have the Aseret HaDibrois written, handwritten by the Ribbono Shel Olam, the original Aseret HaDibrois, not in the shul, Aseret HaDibrois from the manufacturer. The original handwritten by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Which has a higher Kedusha? A Sefer Torah that was written in the year 1990, or the original Aseret HaDibrois, which is more valuable? If they auction it off, we know which is more valuable. Ribbono Shel Olam's Aseret HaDibrois is more valuable. Which has more sentimental value, also we know. But which has a higher level of Kedusha? The Rambam says the Sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah has the Aseret HaDibrois plus more. So the Rambam writes, whatever has more written, whatever has more writing, has a higher level of Kedusha. So the Rambam writes, because the Torah has more Kedusha than the Aseret HaDibrois. So that's how the Gemara determines that the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than Tefillin, and Tefillin have more Kedusha than a Mezuzah, because Mezuzah only has two parashas, Shema and Shema. And the Mezuzah only has two parashas, and Tefillin have four parashas, each one. Then the Gemara goes into detail. What about Tefillin Shel Yad versus Tefillin Shel Rosh? They have the same number of parashas, the same exact word for word, letter for letter, the same parashas. So which has more Kedusha? The Gemara has a discussion. Oh, the Gemara says it's Shel Rosh. Tefillin Shel Rosh has a higher level of Kedusha than the Shel Yad because it has an extra shin on the outside. The outside of the Baisar has an extra shin, and you wear it to Goli, as the Gemara says how important it is. So one wonders why so many levels of Kedusha, why doesn't Halacha just make things easy? And Zog, you have Kodesh and Chol and Farsi. I remember many years ago we were learning in the yeshiva. Normally yeshiva used to learn Agamara from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So there was one year that was a strange year. Rav Soloveitchik was learning different things. That was the year that everybody was discussing whether he was going to go to Eretz Yisrael to become the chief rabbi or not. So we were learning odds and ends that year. One of the odds and ends that we learned was Mishnayis Chal. All about Mrs. Hatzilu's daughter. The student thought that was a hint that he's going to go, he's not going to go, he didn't go, whatever. So he spent a few months on Mishnayis Chal, is only four little croaking, it's not so much. To learn it, if you have your side, you can learn Mishnayis Chal in an hour, maximum. It's not so difficult, not so complicated. All the dinim are more or less known from the kids of Shulchan Aruch, had to be Mafresh Chal, when you Chayim Chal, it's not so much. So it took us around 3.5 months to learn the Mishnayis, with all the commentaries on the Mishnayis, with a lot of Yerushalmi. So at the end of the completion of the Mishnayis Chal, Rabbi Soloveitchik had a party, and he had his wife on the Rashom with cakes, and he brought soda, and he was so excited, so elated, because it was the first time in his life that he ever made a seal on everything. He said he never used to learn from the beginning to the end. The big Gemara, he said, Mishnayis Chal, he finished for the first time in his life, made a seal, he had his wife make a cake, and he brought soda from the store. So he gave a little bit of a drasha at the seal, the guy who sold it, he gave a drasha. So he was discussing exactly this topic, that when Shabbos and Yom Tov are over, so we recite Havdalah. So we say the bracha, Ham Avdo B'Kodesh L'Kodesh. We What happens when right after Shabbat comes Yom Tov? Yom Tov comes on Sunday, or Sunday or Monday. They also say Havdalah. They say Hamavdah ben Kodesh leKodesh. Hamavdah ben Kodesh leKodesh. This is Kodesh and that's Kodesh. This is Kodesh Chomer and that's Kodesh Kaf. So they always wondered about that. Why does Halacha have so many details? It's Kodesh Chomer and Kodesh Kaf. And you have so many Madregas. You have your Shabbat on top and then Kippur after that. And then comes Yom Tov and then comes Noi and then comes Kodesh. And you have Challah has Kedusha and Truma has Kedusha. And Karbonis have Kedushin, you have Kachikachim and Kachim Kalamus, and Kachikachim have different kinds of things, Kachikalamus have different kinds. Why? So many levels of Kedushin make things easy. He said you have Kodesh and Chol. You have holy and you have non-holy. And the Kodesh is Kodesh and the Chol is Chol. Why does it have to be so complicated? So he said he thought that the answer is that even if you were to divide everything in the world into just two plain categories of Kodesh and Chol, that's also Kodesh and Kodesh. Because we have a Kalal in the Mishnah and Tiferes in the first Perek. If you have a cow, which is kosher, a kosher animal, and you milk the cow, so the milk is kosher. If you have a horse, and you have a pig, and you milk a non-kosher animal, so the milk is not kosher. If you have a hen, and it lays an egg, so the egg is kosher. If you have an ostrich egg, so the Chumash says bas hayano, that refers to the egg that comes, the eagle, the American eagle, lays an egg, so just like the eagle is trafe, so the eggs are trafe also. If you have an ostrich, so the ostrich egg is also trafe. You don't say that all eggs are eggs, no. So the Mishnah says, hayotze min ha-tohar, tohar, whatever comes out from a kosher animal is kosher. Hayotim in atom and tomah, whatever comes out from the trafe animal is trafe. So Rabbi Soloveitchik mentioned at that time in the Chassidus Yisvarim, this is a common idea, he didn't allude to it, he didn't mention it then, but the idea appears in now this one. He said that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a holy being, he's a Kodesh. If he created a world, Yesh Me'ayin, it's a Hayotim in HaKodesh is Kodesh. So everything is Kodesh in the world. So what do you mean? You're going to divide the whole Bria into two categories, into Kodesh and Techol? There is no such thing as Chol. That's our misnomer. That's our way of saying Kodesh Kalf, a lower level of Kedusha. So right away you say, even if you're going to simplify matters and say, let's just divide everything into Kodesh and Chol, you're already saying that there's Kodesh Chom and Kodesh Kalf. There's Kodesh Kalf, because Chol means Kodesh Kalf, because everything that Ribbono Shel Olam created is really Kodesh. But once you're forced into assuming that you have two levels of Kodesh, a more serious level and a lower level, because you have Kodesh and Chol, so you can already say that there are more than two levels. You see the two levels in Kedusha, so you can have many levels of Kedusha. This is a very important idea. Students in yeshiva know that I don't, I hardly quote so much from my college studies. I give the shiur, but there's one comment that I'm fond of quoting. There was a French philosopher by the name of Pascal. He wrote a book on philosophy, Pensée, but a whole book, 100 pages. He writes in his book, somebody can attack me and have a time of what was I mechadish, what do I do that I develop? Every single idea that I write in my book, state change, is printed already in book. Before I was born, all the ideas exist, they were printed. But what is my originality? So he says the same time can be presented against a poet who writes a beautiful, beautiful poem. Every word in the poem appears in the dictionary. What was the mechadish? The answer was no. Shneimo mechadish gemar. He put the words. He took the words out. And you look in the dictionary. It's not in the same order that it is in the poem. He takes the words from the dictionary. He puts them in order, and comes out an idea. So he says, Pascal says the same is true. If I say 100 ideas, and every single idea is stachan, every single idea appears in another book that some other philosopher said hundreds of years ago. But if I put it in one arrangement, and they had it in a different arrangement, then the arrangement, which is zikr, which is top of which ideas are related, which are not related, indicates a different pshat and a different understanding of each and every idea. So each one of the 100 ideas takes on a panim kadoshes and has a different understanding. And the same is true in Torah mitzvahs. We're talking religious people. We're not talking about non-observers. We're talking about Orthodox people of davening and shul all the time. We're people who observe all the mitzvahs, all the 613 mitzvahs, plus more. All the mitzvahs. There are about we keep a lot and lots of mitzvahs. And we know that all the mitzvahs are important. But there's still a difference. There is a hierarchy in the mitzvahs. You have to know how do the mitzvahs fit in with each other. What's more important than what? You have Kodesh Chomer and you have Kodesh Kaf. Now the Mishnah, what's the difference? What's more important than what? The Mishnah tells you in Pirkei Avos, everybody knows the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, have you go here from the Kala to the Hamura, you have to observe even the lighter mitzvahs with the same diktuk, with the same carefulness as we observe the more serious mitzvahs. You have to keep all the mitzvahs. That's not the difference. The difference is, what do you do when you have a conflict? We don't live in an ideal world where you can keep all of this. It's just not so. We live in a real world where there are contradictions. It would be wonderful if it'd be able to keep Shabbos every week. What do? Your wife has a baby on Shabbos. Someone takes sick on Shabbos, you have to drive to the hospital. So what do? You drive the car, you get a nochri to drive the car, can you turn off the key, can you drive back, whatever. We have conflicts. If the Rebbeinu Shlomo would have seen to it that no one ever gets sick on Shabbos, it would be wonderful. No one would ever have to eat on Yom Kippur, it's wonderful. We have a conflict. Half of the Jews eat on Yom Kippur, Beheser, Amitzvah, of course they're going to eat on Yom Kippur. You have a conflict. So which takes precedence? Yeah, the Koch Nefesh for sure takes precedence over Shabbos. The Koch Nefesh takes precedence over eating on Yom Kippur and eating Chometz with Pesach and everything, of course. But you have conflicts in all of life, there are conflicts. And you have to determine what's your hierarchy of mitzvahs. You have to keep all the mitzvahs. So reserve the mitzvah kala kalachmor. We're not recommending that you should only keep the more important mitzvahs and forget about the less important mitzvahs. But what do you do when you have a contradiction and you just can't keep both? So which one do you choose to keep? So there are rules and regulations in the Gemara which run more or less along these lines, that you keep the one that's more important. So it's important to know which is the more important mitzvah. It's very important. And if two people, or if 100 people, or if many Jews in the world, Shishim Ribo Jews in the world, if many Jews believe in all the Tayag mitzvahs, but everybody has a different understanding of what's more important than what the order of the hierarchy is, then each person has a different religion. That's very important to know what's more important than what. For example, you have these mice in the Chol Yayin. Take for example, it's very important for a person to be creative, to pursue a career that's to his liking. The Gemara says it's not just that a person does machana parnosa, machta parnosa, goes gets a job, machta parnosa. It's not something that you make a living, you make a parnosa. A person who has capabilities to be creative is supposed to be creative. A person has a talent to play piano, or a talent to discover something in physics, or to develop something in chemistry, should talk it do. And a person has talents to learn Torah, should learn Torah. Every person should go into the field which he's best cut out for. And the Gemara has a comment in Maseches Chagiga. Strange comment about the Rebbeinu Shlom crying every day. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk for Navi. The Rebbeinu Shlom sheds 3 tears every day. The 2 of the people that he sheds tears about every day are the misplaced people. The people who belong in learning who went into other fields. The people who didn't belong in learning who went into learning. And the third person is someone else. Every person has to go. You don't say everybody has to go learn Torah and Torah. And then if you have to make a parnasa, make a parnasa. No, the Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to be creative in whatever field we're best cut out for. Soldechik was fond of giving this drushin. It's printed in one of the collections of drushes in English that are available. That he said, we learn out from the pasuk v'halachta b'drucha, that we have to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Mahu afato, mahu racham lechanan, afato racham lechanan. So one of the ways of the Rebbeinu Shlom is mahu bari olam. The Rebbeinu Shlom is very creative. So he wants us also. He gave us to shrines. He gave us the tzelem alakim. So he wants us also to be creative. Can't create a world. But I have to create with the talents that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave me. If he gave me talents, then I'll be a good doctor. So become a doctor. Don't become a schwache Rebbe in kindergarten. You cut out to be a doctor. So go become a doctor. Or the person has a head, he has a head for physics, so for chemistry. Otmish can cut for Gemara. They tell him, no, break your head, stay in yeshiva, stay in the kollel, try to understand. You won't understand. You'll be a melamed in the third grade. Why should he be a melamed in the third grade? He's cut out for the other thing. That's exactly what the Rebbeinu Shlom is crying about. He's crying about the misplaced people. Every person has to go into the field that he's cut out for. So fine, there is such a concept. A person has to pursue a career that he's cut out for, whatever he's cut out for. But there's another, that's an important thing in life. But there's another important thing, that the girl has to get married. So on the one hand, let's say, the girl has to pursue her career. She's going to become the greatest doctor in the world. So she finishes college and then she goes to medical school. And she's so busy at Angatar in medical school, she has no time to go out on dates. And then after she finished medical school, she's gewaldig, the best one in the clip, but they want to give her whatever, a PhD on top of the MD. So she goes another couple of years, and she's very 35 years old. So where's she going to find a guy who's so talented and so bright and so intelligent? How's she going to get married? So it's a question of priorities. Which is deicha which? Which is more important? This taka mitzvah. The mitzvah pursuing your career, whatever you cut out for, that you can give a contribution to the world, is taka gewaldig in mitzvah. And the mitzvah of getting married is also gewaldig in mitzvah. You have to figure out which mitzvah is deicha which mitzvah. Or people have all the time. One of my students called me up this week. I hadn't heard from him in years. He called me up. He said, Shalom, I'm ready. Like me, tell me, I'm sure. My wife wrote a beautiful tzuba when we got married. That was the first tzuba that she wrote. He tells me his son is going to be bar mitzvah already. I lost track. He's already married over 14 years. He says he's a doctor. He lives in New Jersey. He was just offered a position in Florida. And he flew down to Florida. He flew down. The conditions were gewaldig. The job conditions were gewaldig to pay everything. Florida, Florida. The weather's gewaldig. And then he was looking into education for his children. He had a few children. His boy is going to be bar mitzvah, and he has other children. And he was not satisfied with the education there. He says, this is too much lacking Yirat Shamayim, and the other one is low secular studies. And he says, he went to university. He's a doctor. He doesn't want to have children who don't want to, who don't have any, who don't feel that it's important at all to have any secular education. So he should look down on the father. He doesn't want that. So he had to make a decision, which is going to be doicha which. The education of his children is a priority, and his job offer is another priority. He has to decide which is more chashuv, and he felt that raising his children properly is much more important than making another $500,000, whatever the offer was, whatever the offer happened to him. Sending his children out of town, or high school, so he's making a whole cheshbonus over the telephone. Not for him. All of life is full of conflict, and we all have to decide which is kodesh chomer, and which is kodesh kal. The Chofetz Chaim has a beautiful comment on the pasuk in the Novi Zechariah, when the Novi had a vision of the Kohen Gadol, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, when he first built the second Beit HaMikdash, the high priest was named Yeshua. So he had a dream, Zechariah HaNovi had a dream, a vision of the Kohen Gadol, the Hastatan Omer Al Yemin Ol HaSitna. The Ekehara said that usually, traditionally, in literature, you always describe the right heart, the right side of the heart as being where the place where the Yetzer Tov is, and the left side of the heart, that's the pasuk in Mishlei, Lev Kochen Limino Relate Tzivu L'Smolo. And we assume it's not physical, it's not a physical statement, but it's a literary statement. Figuratively speaking, that the Yetzer Tov rests in the right side of the heart and the Yetzer Hara rests in the left side of the heart. But what does the pasuk describe the Yetzer Hara stating on the right? Why is the Satan, why is the Yetzer Hara on the right side of the Yeshua Kohen Gadol to get him to do an Aver? The Satan should be on the left side. So the Chofetz Chaim writes a pshat, a pretty popular pshat, people say it over. So he said, when you get to a plain man in the street and you want to make him do an Aver, so the Satan can stand on the left side and get him to do an Aver, no problem. So I'm trying to find Gadol. Gadol is a special, holy individual.
Tuesday, even though you may get involved in Chilul Shabbos, HaKadosh can drink. You can't tell a person not allowed to go on a boat. If it comes up to Koch Nefesh, there's a lot of be Mechal Shabbos. But if it goes on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he's supposed to be worrying about Shabbos, so it looks as if he's putting himself into a situation where he doesn't care about Chilul Shabbos. What happens if he has to go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? That's not for a pleasure trip. What if he's going to Mokhamis? He's going to move to Eretz Yisrael. If some possible say he's going to visit Eretz Yisrael. Pleasures of visiting Eretz Yisrael. Maybe we'll discuss that later in the series of lectures during the year. But it is a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael, or to live in Eretz Yisrael. What if he's going to pidyon shvuyim? What if he's going to get married, a mitzvah? So the makom mitzvah, we allow you even to start the trip on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch, what if he's going for business? What if he's going for panos? So the Rambam says panos is also the makom mitzvah. It's the mitzvah to make a living. And the Gemara has a whole discussion. What if he barely ekes out a living and he wants to make a comfortable living? So the Gemara says also a mitzvah. You're not permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. Unless there's an important mitzvah there. So the Gemara says, what if you don't make a living in Eretz Yisrael? You're allowed to go to Chuppah. What if you just make a living but koshi gadol? You want to come to America, I have a lot of students and live in Eretz Yisrael, they don't make a living. So they come back to America in the summertime and make a lot of money, then they go back. And in winter time they live in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes they come to America. So they're permitted to, even though they make enough in Eretz Yisrael to live the koshi, to just pull through by the skin of their teeth. But the Gemara says, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to live a little more comfortably, because that's also considered a mitzvah. A fellow makes $100,000 in Eretz Yisrael. What does he do? I don't know, what does he do? Bankrupt? What does he do? He robs banks? Maybe he prints money? I don't know. If the person has a job and he makes $100,000, and he wants to make $1 million a year, so that's not a heter. That's not a mokka mitzvah. It's an ishkin mitzvah to make panos. But to make panos is also a mitzvah. To make a panos is a mitzvah, suppose. To make panos is a deicha Shabbos? Is a deicha kashrut? Let's say, is a deicha anything? Of course not. That's a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. You have to decide which mitzvah is more important. COVID. How many people violate our various COVID? COVID, terrible thing, COVID. Not so terrible. COVID is a very important thing. COVID ha'adam is a very important thing. COVID abriyat, min mechabit other people, COVID atzmo, the Gemara says COVID abriyat, that's not implied. To speak with that you don't insult and you don't embarrass someone else. You have a right to speak with that. You have an obligation to speak with that you are not embarrassed. You shouldn't be embarrassed in public. That's part of the din of COVID. You might want to from a pasuk. Lo yitam, one of the dinim in the Torah. Lo yitam, COVID abriyat, the real din deraita. Kant is one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Of course, Kavod HaBris is important. And the Gemara says Kavod HaBris is so important, sometimes when it comes in conflict with the Torah laws, the Kavod HaBris takes precedence and you're permitted to violate the laws of the Torah. But there are rules and regulations. Let's say if the fellow's embarrassed to eat, to insist that he's going to say a bracha, let's say he's eating with a client in a trace restaurant, whatever, and he's going to eat chazer because he's embarrassed to say that he keeps kosher, the Kavod HaBris is better Catholic. Of course not. He's embarrassed to say that it's the same as Shabbos. The Kavod HaBris doesn't take precedence over Shabbos. The Gemara has a lot of rules and regulations. We have a lot of discussion in the Achronim and the Poskim, the Nevi Yehuda and the Divrei Chaim, and they have many, many tshuvas about this, all the ins and the outs. When is Kavod HaBris, which is a very important consideration, when is it Deicha Dini HaTorah, when is it not Deicha? Kavod is an important consideration. It's not a negative thing. And Parnas is an important consideration. These are all important considerations. And having a career is also an important consideration. Everything is important. We're dealing with all mitzvahs. The question is, the Satan stands on the right side, and he gives us a whole different hierarchy of mitzvahs. So that don't die. He talks it into us that Kavod is the biggest mitzvah of all, and it's like everything else. It can wage war against all the other people and so on. No, that part is not correct. It is a mitzvah, but it has its place. You have to figure out exactly what the hierarchy of the mitzvahs are. The Gemara has a very interesting, tragic story in Masechet Yumah. The Gemara tells the Levim had their job in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim had their job. There were lots of Levim, so how did the Levi know who has the right to do the job? Let's say they played musical instruments while the Kohanim was bringing the Korbanos on the Mizbeach. So which Levi had the right to play the music? So the Levim used to be in charge of locking the gates. So when the Shorim, the Levim whose job it was to lock the gates and open the gates, the Shorim, open the shah and close the shah, those are Shorim. And there were Meshorim, and the Gemara says the Meshorah Shashir is an Aver, a Chayv Mitzvah Shemayim, it's not allowed. So how do you know whether you're a Meshorer? It depends if you have a good voice or not, if you're required. How do you know if it's your job to sing, or if it's your job to lock the gates? So the Pesukim say, Chumash, if you read Bamidbar, Ish Al Pukudasta, they had a man in charge, and he appointed people, and he said, you're in charge of this, because they had to correspond. If the guy has a big voice, then you don't put him in charge of singing. If the guy's Shvach, he can't lock the door. He can't carry a key, so he's falling apart, so you don't put him in charge of the gate. It has to be with Seichel, but they had Amamune, and it's his job to appoint the Levim, Ish Al Pekudotai. And the Levi is not allowed to do something that he wasn't appointed for. How do they determine which Kohen has? If they have 100 Kohanim with the Beis HaMikdash, how do they decide which Kohen is going to shef the Korban? But there's no Pasuk in the Chumash. It doesn't say. There's no din. Let's say if you wouldn't have a lighting, let's say you have intersections in the city, and you have no red light, green light, yellow light, no light. And the cars come, and everybody starts honking the horn. So who has the right to go? There's no dinim in the Chumash. So you must, you have to make some kind of a pshara. You must make a pshara. Stay for 5 minutes this way, 5 minutes to go north south, 5 minutes to go east west, whatever. You have to make some kind of a decision. So the Gemara says they had to come up with some pshara, how to determine which kohen has the right to shech the korbanos, which kohen has the right to deserve to die. So what was the pshara? So the Mishnah Yuma described in the second chapter of Yuma, very shaina. Originally, the practice would be that they would have a mad rush, a mad dash towards the mizbeach. And whoever got there first, it was a ram. Whoever got there first, touched the mizbeach. Or he came within davam, so the mizbeach wins. And they push each other off, and they were running with knives. So it wasn't too healthy. So the Gemara says they changed that. That was the practice. They changed it, and then they drew lots. It became more peaceful. So the Gemara tells about the tragedy that on one occasion there were a whole bunch of young Kohanim running up the kevish, running up the ramp towards the mizbeach. And one guy won, and the other guy didn't want to lose. So he took the knife and he stabbed him to death. He fell down and he was dead. So the father of the boy who was killed ran over, and instead of seeing whether his son is dead or alive, he says, take out the knife from his body. The knife is a cliché, it's a hasidusha, it's the word for the Beis HaMikdash. Take out the knife. So they took out the knife, and then his son started to moan and groan afterwards. So they realized that the son wasn't dead yet, he's in the process of dying. So the father lifts his hands up to heaven and says, Baruch Hashem, the knife didn't become permanent. The Gemara says, what a meshugan of the man. His son is just killed in front of his eyes. Baruch Hashem, the knife doesn't shed a tear about the fact that his own son is killed in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara starts the whole discussion. Obviously, this man has some distorted picture of it. So the Gemara wants to know, what exactly was distorted of it? Is it that Shvichas Damim wasn't high enough on the level, it didn't have the proper priority? Murder didn't mean too much threat. It should have been much higher than it was. Or is it that they exaggerated the chashivas of Taharas Klei Beis HaMikdash? Was it that they underestimated the importance of Shvichas Damim, or because they exaggerated, they overestimated the importance of Taharas Klei Beis HaMikdash? What's the difference? If you have one thing out of order, everything is cut out.
like Pascal said, if you have one thing out of order, so then all the 613 mitzvahs are wrong. You have a different understanding of everything, and everything is wrong. You have to have everything in the proper order. They're working now on the gene therapy, so they have you read in the newspapers all the time, not in the field, they read that if you have the DNA is in the nucleus of every cell in the human being, but the DNA is a long string of, they explain the polemic, it's a long string of letters of the alphabet. They give us understanding. So they have, sometimes the genes are faulty because you're missing part of the DNA. Sometimes you're not missing anything, it's just in the wrong order. The wrong order of the technique. You have to put it in the right order. In the wrong order, everything is going to be kaka. Everything else in the DNA is straight. There's one thing out of order, everything is no good. That's what the Satan very often will confuse us. He will confuse our priorities. He'll tell us, Satan, you mean a little sit and stand on the right and tell us, do a mitzvah, about it a mitzvah. Pursuing a career is a halakha mitzvah. Making a panasa, absolutely a mitzvah. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to go on a trip on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with a Torah panasa. And even if you make a panasa, because you want to make a panasa bereva, also a mitzvah, stay there, you're permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. It's also a mitzvah. We're talking about things that are all mitzvahs, and covet is a mitzvah. Everything is a mitzvah, but there's a hierarchy of mitzvah. You have to know which mitzvah is more important than which. And you really have to know which is there for which. Gemara in the first parak in the first parak in Masechet Nida has a whole discussion, an interesting discussion about when you milk the cow, where did the milk come from? So the Gemara has one Tana says that the milk comes from the blood. Dam nechav and apakol. It starts off as blood and then it converts to become milk. So the Gemara says the proof is that when a mother is nursing a baby, she doesn't have her period. So that proves that the blood converted into milk, and then since there's milk, so there's no blood used up all the time. The other Tana says it has nothing to do with anything. The milk didn't start off as blood. But the Gemara says, but according to this opinion, that the milk all started off as blood. So you have to drink milk. You're not allowed to drink milk from a non-kosher animal. What about milk from a kosher animal? You're allowed to drink. Blood, you're not allowed to drink. So how can you drink the milk if it comes from blood? The Gemara says, no, that's permissible. There's a pasuk in Kohelet, which reads, Miyitein mitohar, Miyitein mitomei tohar, halo yechor. Where do you have such a thing, hechitimke? Where do you have like a riddle? Pasuk says, where do you have a riddle? So you have something which is straight, and it converts, and it becomes kosher. Mi'itein, mi'tomei tohar. Who can do such a thing? Who can accomplish such a trick? Start off with some trace of food, and it converts and becomes kosher. Must be the Ribbono Shel Olam does that trick. Halo Yechor, the one and only God above in heaven. So he's the one who can do that trick, and this Tana claims that's what that passage in Kohelet is referring to, that the blood converts and it turns into milk, and the milk is kosher. So Rashi comments on the Gemara, how do you read the end of the passage? Mi'itein, mi'tomei tohar. Halo Yechor. That means the one God, we need one God. Rashi adds on a little bit. He says, no, Haloi Echod, one God who created everything. He created the kosher and the non-kosher. So since everything emanates from this one God, even the non-kosher can't be that bad. Even the treif is also, Hayotim and HaKadosh is Kadosh. Everything is really Kadosh. It's Kadosh Chom and it's Kadosh Kal. Even the chol or even the treifus is also not 100% treif. It also has elements of Kedusha in it. If the Baruch Shalom created it, that emanated from Amaka, from Ashorish Kadosh, it also has Kedusha. So with a little bit of a nudging, it can convert to become kosher. It can convert to become, that's how Rashi comes. Rabbi Yosef Engel adds on to the comment of Rashi. He has a drasha where he adds on, he says, there's a strange, similar, strange passage in the Gemara in Masechet Yuma, the end of Yuma. The Gemara says that a person did Averis all of his life, and then later on, finally decides to become a Baal Teshuva. So what does he accomplish after having done Teshuva? Averis, remain Averis. The Gemara says, no. It depends how serious he is when he does the Teshuva. If he does such a gewaldige Teshuva, me'ahavo. He loves the Ribbono Shel Olam so much and he feels so bad about the fact that he did all these averos. So the Gemara says the averos that he did bemazed all of his life, the donos, nasin lokes v'chuyos, they converted into mitzvahs. So he has half, everybody is. It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean the averos become mitzvahs? How can averos become mitzvahs? So he says the same explanation that Rashi said. Where did the averos come from? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the curse to do mitzvahs and do averos. Even the averos, which you're not allowed to do, it can't be that it's absolutely 100% osur behechlet. It must have some kind of a shorish in Kedusha if the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you the ability to do it. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the HaKadosh, whatever he made is Kodesh. There are different madregas, and this is a real Kodesh cow. You're not allowed to do that. Chilul Shabbos is Zotze. Eating treif is Zotze. And carrying on Yom Kippur, if there's no air carrying on Yom Kippur, eating on Kippur, you're not allowed to do that. But it can't be that it's absolutely black, it's so Zotze. It has elements of Kedusha, except that it's the elements of Tumah, the elements of Avera outweigh the elements of Kedusha. But if the person does Tshuva, then he can convert it into a mitzvah. The elements of Kedusha pop up. You polish them up a little bit and you say, oh, it's a Gemara mitzvah. And the Zohar has that comment on the Parsha of Amalek. When we speak of evil in the world, well, there are bad people, there are very bad people, there are evil people, the worst of the worst is always
we always depict the worst human being is a molech. And the Chachamim comment on the pasuk, "Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akisa Shalom, Hashem Moche Zara Shalom Molech." The Rebbeinu Shalom swears, "Ki Yod Al Keich Ko, Chamal Hashem Ba Molech Medor Dor." The Rebbeinu Shalom swears on his throne. Instead of saying the Rebbeinu Shalom's name, Yudkevok, he says Yudkei is missing half of the Shem Hashem. Half of the Rebbeinu Shalom's name is missing, and he swears by his throne. He says Keich Ko, Chav Samach. Why Keich? Kisei, a throne, a chair. Is it Kisei? Why Keich? So Rashi quotes on Chumash and B'shalach. Rashi quotes from the Gemara and Sochim. Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akisa Shalom, Hashem Moche Zara Shalom Molech. What does it mean? So it's usually understood as follows, that Amalek represents the problem of evil in the world. Amalek was the worst of the worst. There is a problem of evil if we really believe that if you hold like other religions used to believe, yes, some believe it now, that there's a God of good and there's a God of evil, and there are different forces in the world. So the evil forces stem from the God of evil, and the good forces stem from the God of good. But we don't believe in that. We believe there's one God, Hashem Echad, and the Rebbeinu Shalom made everything in the world, and there's no other power that exists. That there's one God in the world and he created everything, and he knows what's going on, and he cares, and he wants it to be a good world. So how come there's so many tzaddikim, tzaddik veralo, rosh v'tovlo? How come everything is kakai? We should see only good. How come you have so much evil in the world? How can it be Amalek? The kolzman that you have Amalek, takashe. So the Gemara says kolzman that Amalek is around. Amalek represents evil. Kolzman Amalek is around. Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akisa Shalom. The perception, the human perception is that the Rebbeinu Shalom is not fully in power. That's our perception. It's not true, but that's the impression that we get. And Lasi Lover, when the Chiyat HaMolek will be completed, then it'll be Hashem Shalom, Akisa Shalom, then we'll realize that the Rebbeinu Shalom is really in power over here. So we always speak about HaMolek as the worst of the worst, and he epitomizes evil. And that's why HaMolek represents the problem of evil in the world. So the Zohar has a comment on the pasuk in Devarim, when it says you have to wipe out, we have a mitzvah to wipe out the people of HaMolek. It says, Mocha Tinchezech HaMolek Mitachas HaShemayim, from below the heavens. So the Zohar says, Mitachas HaShemayim, Lo Lamala Men HaShemayim, above the heavens. Amalek is also told. It's only Goyle Mazeh, according to our perception, Amalek is Ra. All the evil in the world, that's the Jewish position. That's our position on the problem of evil. That it's all just a mistaken perception. The Gemara says that when a tragedy occurs, when someone dies or anything terrible happens, you have to recite a bracha about by an animal. Something wonderful happens, you know, Irish sweepstakes, you have to say bracha, I tell you about making. So clearly two different brachas. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in bracha, Kishen Shem, Mavarchem Allah Teivo, the same way you recite a blessing when something good happens, you have to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too you have to recite a blessing when something terrible, when a terrible tragedy happens. What do you mean, kishem? You say the same bracha, you don't say Atayva Meitiv. You say Dayan HaEmes, a different bracha. You know, of course, you say a different bracha, but you have to recite the bracha. Dayan HaEmes, with the same joy and the same simcha. People don't do it. What are you supposed to? Why are you supposed to recite the bracha with the same joy and the same simcha? So the commentaries explain, because we believe that everything in the world is good. If the Rebbeinu Shalom is a good God, so everything that he does is good. So when you have 6 billion Jews killed, they don't understand it, that was good. Everything is good. Amalek, everything is good, wonderful, is a good God, and everything in the world is wonderful. We don't say, I tell you about Mesiv, when we see 6 billion Jews being killed. Because according to our perception, which is a mistaken perception, we have a lot of times mistaken perception. According to our perception, that was a tragedy. We see a lot of tragedies, which we think are tragedies. But I'll leave it to Emes, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo's viewpoint, and he has the full picture of everything. He has the full perspective. So everything is good. There's nothing that's evil. So that's what the Gemara says. True, the Nusach HaBracha is different. Here we recite Hatzai Bameitiv, and here we recite Dayan HaEmes, because the Nusach HaBracha has to correspond to our perception. But you're supposed to recite the Bracha B'Simcha with the Emunah. You can't see, but we're supposed to have Emunah, that this is also good. We believe that everything that Rabbeinu Shalom does is good. Everything is good. Even Amalek, which is taken as the symbol of Ra Shebera, the worst thing in the world. So the Torah says, Mitachas HaShemayim, Mochitim Chazom, Mitachas HaShemayim, not Milamayla Men HaShemayim. Ma'alim Rashmaim, from the Rebbeinu Shalom's viewpoint, from the Rebbeinu Shalom's perspective, he's up in heaven above, he sees the whole picture of the whole world and history from the beginning to the end. Amalek is also Tov. We think that it's Ra. Lamaisa Amalek is also Tov. Everything in the world is Tov. Everything is Kodesh. It's just that there's Kodesh Chom and Kodesh Kal and so on. The Gemara has a din that when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, you have to give the Kohen the first Aliyah, then you give the Levi the next Aliyah, then the Shlishi you give already to the Israel. What happens if there's no Kohen? Are you obligated to call up the Levi first? The Gemara says no. Ein Sham Kohen. If there's no Kohen, it's Barda HaChavila. So Rashi says you're not obligated to call up a Levi. But then Rashi has another interpretation. He quotes one of his Rabbein. Ein Sham Kohen. If there's no Kohen, you're forbidden to call a Levi first. And the Shulchan Aruch, we don't talk like that. But on the bottom of the page, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that there's such a pshat. And whenever in the yeshiva years ago, we used to sometimes lay Kriyas HaTorah, and there wouldn't be a kohen, and Rabbi Soloveitchik would see this, and they would want to call up Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he said, no, you're not allowed to call up a lady. It's one pshat and Rashi. He wanted to train the boys that they should remember the pshat and Rashi, even though the din is not so. So Hanukkah says it's optional. If you want, you can call a lady first. If you don't want, you don't have to. And it says, but if the lady is the biggest halachah in the group, then you surely call him first because he deserves the first aliyah because he's the biggest halachah. The other lady said, no, he doesn't want the first aliyah. Just to, the boy should remember that there's such a shita and Rashi. So he used to discuss it on different occasions. Why not? What's the avera? Mainly you say you're not obligated to call up the lady. Okay, if you're not, you're not going to have all three, you're not going to represent Kohen Levi, so the three parts of the Jewish nation, you're not obligated to call the lady first. It doesn't make sense to show that there are two parts. But to say that it's prohibited to call the lady, well, what's the avera? So he used to explain that the pasuk from which we derive the principle that you have to give the Kohen the first aliyah, you have to be mechaber the Kohanim, is the Kiddushto, Parashas Amor, from which you have to be mechaber the Kohen. But also Rechik said maybe what it means is the Kiddushto, that you have to preserve the Yuchsin in Kol Yisrael, not only Kohen. You have to preserve everybody's yichud. You have to remember who's a kohen, who's a levi, who's a mamzer, who's a cholol, who's hayrata bigdusha, who's hayrata shalom bigdusha. You have to know everybody's yichud. You have to try to preserve the yichud, but it shouldn't become a tushtosh. It shouldn't be forgotten. If you have no kohen in the shul, and you're going to call the levi first because he's a levi, then you're giving the levi the chashidus and the kavod that's only due to a kohen. The kohen deserves getting first because he is a kohen. You're not supposed to give. The levi doesn't deserve to go first because he's a levi. The levi deserves to be second, not first. If you call Israel first, what are you going to do? You're going to call a Nochri first? You're going to start from Shlishi? You have to call somebody. But if you call Israel first to the first Aliyah, it doesn't mean that you're giving him the Hashid, getting the first Aliyah. Somebody has to get the first Aliyah. But if you call a lady gets the first Aliyah, it means you're giving him the Hashid of getting the first Aliyah because he's a lady. So that's not proper. You're not supposed to be Mechabed the lady with the same degree of Kovid that you're Mechabed the Kohen. This is also an important clause. The Gemara has a Masechah Shabbos. Last night, many of you attended the drasha in the yeshiva. One of the rabbis in the yeshiva gave a drasha. So he quoted many of the passages in the Gemara in the end of Shabbos. What caused the Churban Yerushalayim? Why the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? So there's one passage that he left out. It doesn't contradict the drasha, but it didn't fit in with his thinking. He left out several passages. One of the lines there in the Gemara is, one of the reasons why Yerushalayim was Farei was because Shehishvu Katon LeGadol. So he quoted the lesser Talmid HaChacham with the greater Talmid HaChacham. You have to keep in mind who's the greater Talmid HaChacham, who's the lesser Talmid HaChacham. What's the difference between the Chabad Ola Rabbanim? Chabad Ola Talmid HaChacham, just because he's a Malamed in the first grade, he's a Malamed in a Michashir. So therefore, no, the Gemara says still you have to keep in mind who is more Chashuv. You have to have a hierarchy. And if you metashtesh the Gvulin, and if you wash that away, like one is Mechabad a lady, the same as a Koyin, one is Mechabad a hold from the less of the Talmud Chacham, the same as the greater Talmud Chacham, this will cause a tremendous kilkul. The Gemara says that's one of the things that caused the Churban Yerushalayim. I remember several years ago, a woman called on it. Someone gave me a message in yeshiva that a woman called on a telephone, she left a number. So I called her back. And the woman tells me that she heard that I had issued a certain opinion on something that she wasn't too thrilled with. I said, I'm not the chief rabbi of the world yet. I'm not even the chief rabbi of New York. So you just follow your rabbi. You don't have to listen to me. So she says, no, that's the trouble. She asked her rabbi. Her rabbi is a student of mine. He got to the ministry, and he's going to follow me. So I said, good for your rabbi. Every rabbi should follow his rabbi. So the woman gets into the hall. Very nice. I don't know who she is. Very nice woman over the telephone. She's very nice. So she tells me, I understand the Darachel. I understand that there's a hierarchy among the rabbis, the greater rabbi, less the rabbi, that I consult with Rabbi so-and-so. One of the problems that I consulted Rabbi so-and-so before I gave the decision, in my opinion, or maybe she's making a mistake. Maybe I'm higher than Rabbi so-and-so. So what am I going to say? Rabbi so-and-so is 10 years younger than me. So I said, I don't know what to say, so I said, I'm the head of the Kohen Leadership. So she paused for a moment and she said, Rabbi Sheikh, I don't know what that means. I have a weak background in Judaic studies. Could you explain what you just said? She doesn't know what that means. I said, what that means is that I was a member of the rabbinic, then I spoke in English, I was a member of the rabbinic faculty at the time that Rabbi so-and-so was a student for ordination, and I marked his examination papers when he was in Rabbi Soloveitchik Smith. So she says, oh, so the hierarchy is the other way. So she says, did Rabbi so-and-so consult you when he issued the opposition? So I said, no. He consulted one of my colleagues who told him that he's wrong. But then she started a whole conversation. So why did he? A whole conversation. But people understand. Of course there's a hierarchy among the rabbis. It doesn't mean that everybody has to follow blindly everything that I told them. Another thing I said, just because I issued my opinion and I published it, it's not for laymen. My opinion was for rabbis to read, to study, and to see if they agree, they disagree. Those who agree, those who disagree, they disagree. Just because I happen to be in a higher position than Rabbi so-and-so doesn't mean that his hands and his feet are tied, that he has to listen to what I have to say. If his Rebbe says Taket, if he follows his Rebbe, it isn't the same. But we have to realize there is a hierarchy, just like there's a hierarchy in Mitzvah Sata. Of course, the woman on Mitzvah, of course, there's a hierarchy among rabbis. And the Gemara considers this such a terrible thing. The Gemara Shabbos lists that as one of the causes of the Chorban Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara has a famous story in Bava Basra, in the first Perek, of a person who died and came back to life. There are books now about these people. Maybe the person almost died and he came back to life, and they interviewed him and they said, this and that, all the different things. So the Gemara has in two different places discussions like that, about people who came back to life. So the Gemara has a famous passage in Bava Basra on Daf Yud. He came back to life, so the father asked him, what did you see over there? How did you see the whole world? He had a different perspective of the world. He said, everything was upside down. El Yoyim Lamata, Yitachtoinim Lamayla. The people who are held in high esteem. He saw the same world, but he had a true perspective. It's like when you're up in heaven, like the Rebbe Shalom has a true perspective. When he died, he was hoping he had one foot already at the end of it. So he had a correct perspective of the world. So the people who are held in high esteem saw that from the perspective in heaven. They're not held in high esteem. The people who are held in low esteem, those people are held in high esteem. That's what the Gemara says. We have such a confusion in this world. We have in mitzvahs, we don't know which mitzvahs. We're talking all mitzvahs. There are lots and lots of mitzvahs. Plenty of mitzvahs, but you have to know which mitzvah is more important than which. If you have a situation where there's a conflict, and we always have conflicts, you have to know when you have a conflict, which takes precedence. And you have many Talmid HaChachamim, and you have to know what the hierarchy of the Talmid HaChachamim is. There's a famous passage in the Chassidish Sefer, the Toldos Yankiv Yosef, it's called the Toldos, one of Chassidish Rebbe's. So he has a comment on the Pasuk. I remember I took a course in graduate school in Bernard Revel, I took a course in Jewish history. So we'll be running through that period of history with Professor Lewin. Professor Lewin was running through the different Rebbe's, and he said a few just to give the Kitta Nimrod to the Rebbe. So when he came to the Toldos, this is one of the two Vertlach that he said from the Toldos. An important comment. That the Toldos Yankiv Yosef has a comment on the Tosfos and the Hakoytei, where there's a pasuk that speaks about the Golos three times. The Golos is repeated three times. What do I have to repeat three times? So the Toldos Yankiv Yosef says that there are three aspects to the Golos of the Jewish people. One is that the Jewish nation is a Golos amongst the Umos HaOlam. The next is that the Talmid HaChachamim are a Golos amongst the Amei HaOretz. And the third is that the real Talmid HaChachamim are a Golos amongst those who claim to be Talmid HaChachamim who are not. And he says, and the third Golos is worse than the second Golos is worse than the first. And he has a whole Arita from it. It's an interesting notion. But it's an important thing. There is an important hierarchy, and people have to keep, they have to have their perspective straightened out to know what the hierarchy is supposed to be. The question is, how does a person get the hierarchy straight? So he's presented with loads and loads of mitzvahs. How are you going to figure out which mitzvah is more important? So the only way to figure it out is by writing the Torah. The Gemara comments on the pasuk in Barchi Nafshi, the pasuk in Sefer Tehillim. Tashas Peshas Vihi Loilo. The Rebbe Shlomo makes it dark, and it's dark like night. So the Gemara says, this is a description of Olam Hazeh. Why is Olam Hazeh Olam HaLaila? Why is Olam Hazeh Olam HaLaila? It's dark outside, it's dark. And in the middle of the daytime, it's light. Why is Olam Hazeh Olam HaLaila? So in the Sefer Mechilas Yisharmi has the famous comment, and the Yeshivas, they all study the Mechilas Yisharmi, they're waiting in Yeshivas. So he says, when it's dark at night, people can make two types of mistakes. You'll see from a distance a lamppost and you think that it's a human being, and you see a human being and think that's a lamppost. In other words, you can make a mistake in the Malyusa and the Gemiyusa. You think that the thing is much more important than it is. You make a mistake and think that it's less important than it is. And he says, so too, Ba'olam Hazeh, very confusing. You have a lot of things, and they all have value. They all have value, but you have to have your priority straight. You have to have your head screwed on straight to know which takes precedence over which, and which has priority. And we make a lot of times mistakes. We try to figure out, is this more important than this? Is that more important than that? Is this a mitzvah? Is this an aveira? You look at our generation, you can't figure out whether supporting the state of Israel is one of the biggest mitzvahs in the world, one of the biggest aveira. Whether working for Soviet Jewry is one of the biggest mitzvahs. No, I'll just say no, it's one of the biggest aveiras in the world. Which is it? Is it one of the biggest mitzvahs, one of the biggest aveiras? So we have a big problem. That's what the Gemara is alluding to. The Sil Shem says that's what the Gemara is alluding to. Zeh ha'olam hazeh, shedoyim alo laila. So faced with the situation, it's very hard to figure out what's going on. Is the thing a mitzvah? Is it an aver? Is it a big mitzvah? Is it a little mitzvah? Is it an aver? Where are we holding? So the Gemara explains that what do you do when it's dark outside? So you turn on the light and you have a little illumination. How do you turn on the light? So the pasuk says, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. So the Gemara draws a distinction between fulfilling mitzvahs and learning Torah. The Gemara says, if a person does a mitzvah, it gives a little illumination, like you light a little Hanukkah candle in a room that's dark, so it gives you a little bit of illumination, and it'll last for half an hour. Hanukkah candle lasts for half an hour. Shabbos candle lasts for 4 hours. If in addition to doing mitzvahs, the person learns Torah also, because the Torah is like a torch. A torch will last longer than 4 hours, and
and a torch will give much more illumination. And it doesn't mean, and the Medrash comment, and it doesn't mean that if a person just goes once a month, he attends a shiur, he attends a lecture in the shul, but right away he has a whole illumination, and he has a Jewish view on disarmament, and a Jewish view on abortion, and a Jewish view on everything. No, the Pasuk says, Ner l'ragli devarecha v'or l'nisivasi, that the Torah, Ner l'ragli devarecha, the Torah is like a candle, and it's also like the oil of the cross is like a torch. So the Medrash HaKasha, what do you mean Torah is like a candle? He just said, Kiner mitzvah the Torah or. The other Pasuk said that doing mitzvah is like a little candle, but learning Torah is like a torch. And this Pasuk says that learning Torah is sometimes like a candle, sometimes like a torch. Isn't it a contradiction? The Medrash says no contradiction. When a person just comes once a month or once a year to a shir to hear some Divrei Torah, you're not going to assume that that person has a whole illumination. He's still just going to be on the Madrega of a little candle. If a person starts to learn a little bit, and then he learns some more, and he learns some more, and he learns every week, and he goes to a shiur, and he goes to two shiur, and three shiur, and there's shiur all over the place. There's shiur in Gemara, and in Halacha, and in Siddur, and everything that we have to know. There's shiur available. We just have to seize the opportunity and go attend the shiur. So if the person learns a lot, then the Torah will be like an or. Then it'll be like a torch that will illuminate us. And this is exactly what the Medrash means, commenting on the Pasuk. The minhag in most communities is that starting from Chodesh Elul through Shmini Atzeres, through Simchat Torah, we recite So the Medrash, what is the connection between the Dovid Hashem Ori and this season of the year? The Medrash says, Dovid Hashem Ori, the Yishri, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ori, the Rosh Hashanah, the Yishri, the Yom HaKippur. So the Baruch Hu gives us illumination on Rosh Hashanah, and he gives us a Yeshua, he gives us salvation on Yom Kippur. Look, so the salvation on Yom Kippur, we understand. We're afraid he's going to punish us, he's going to give us a bad gift, he forgives us sins, and he gives us that mark, a sin of favor. But that's quite a salvation. We understand why Yom Kippur is Yishri, it's a Yeshua. And what way is Rosh Hashanah Ori? Hanukkah, you light candles. You bench lift every Shabbos in Yom Kippur. Well, why is Rosh Hashanah? You light more candles. And Yom Kippur in Shul is a minute to light a lot of candles. The Urim Kap to Hashem. And Yom Kippur is a minute to light your side candles and a lot more candles than usual Shul. Not Rosh Hashanah. Why did the Medrash refer to Rosh Hashanah as the Dovid Hashem? So in the Sifri HaChassidus, they explain why. That Torah is all. What do you mean? What is Rosh Hashanah? What do you mean Rosh Hashanah that the Baruch Hashem created the world? What exactly is it? The Baruch Hashem created the world with 6 days of Sheshit Migration. Rosh Hashanah was which day of the Sheshit Migration? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the sixth of the day on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, and he taught him Torah. And he taught him Torah. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'Adam Lamor. And the Gemara understands that pasuk Vayitzav, that he taught him all of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. The Gemara understands every word in the pasuk Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'Adam Lamor. Every word refers to another one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. He taught him the Torah, not the whole Torah, the fact he taught him Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch, plus the din of not eating from the Eitz Hadaat. And all of the laws that he had to know, all the aspects, all the elements of these dinim to know how to observe them. So in that sense, we refer to Rosh Hashanah as Zman Matan Torah. The Rebbe Hashem didn't give him any text, he didn't give him any Torah Shebuktah, but he gave him a Torah Shebalteh. We have 3 days in the year when we celebrate Zman Matan Torah. We celebrate on Shavuot, Zman Matan Torah. That's when the Luchot Yishayot were given. And Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai for the first time with the Luchot. He came down on Shavuot, but the Atzeres were proclaimed on Shavuot. Then he came down with the Luchot Shniyot on Yom HaKippurim, and the Mishnah says that the last Mishnah in Tainus that Yom Kippur is a day of celebration because it's the Yom Kabbalah HaTorah. That's when the second Luchos were given. And we have a third day in the year that we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah, not the Kabbalah HaTorah that was given to the Jewish people, but rather the Kabbalah HaTorah that was given to Adam HaRishon. The same day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, he taught him the Torah. Because when he brought him into this world of Toshet Cheshet Lihi Loila, a finstinish, a dark world, Adam HaRishon wouldn't be able to figure out right from wrong either. He wouldn't be able to figure out what's a mitzvah and what's an aver. So the Rebbe Shalom had to educate him. He had to teach him which are the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach that he has to observe, and what's the story of the Eitz Hadaat, that he's not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadaat. So we celebrate L'maisa 3 Yom Tovim. That's one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah. That's why, in fact, in the davening on Rosh Hashanah, it's an interesting thing. All of the themes of Rosh Hashanah are hidden. The Gemara comments on the pasuk, Tikkun v'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu, that Rosh Hashanah has to be a holiday where the themes are hidden. Why do things have to be hidden? It's very interesting because the Chachamim tell us on Masechus Chagiga that everything that appears in the Chumash up until the Tzula Hashemayim Lord, the Kol Tzadam, up until the end of Bria Hashemayim Lord, we apply the Pasuk in Mishlei to that period of time. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Tzvoy Delekim has to go. That it's honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we shouldn't delve into that. The Gemara says that it's prohibited to try to figure out the origins of the earth and what happened before man was here and how did this come about and how did that come about. You're not allowed to delve into this. Starting from Vayichulu on, after man was created and everything, the whole world was created, then the Medrash says, and the Gemara says, then we apply the Pasuk,
Then it's the honor of the Ribbono Shel Olam that we should try to figure out all of nature and all the laws of the Torah and everything. So that's why Rosh Hashanah, which is the day on which we celebrate the creation, one of the days we celebrate the creation of the world and creation of Adam Rishon, we're celebrating the things from Sheishes Mei Bereishis, which we're not supposed to delve into. So that's why the Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah, all of the themes of Rosh Hashanah, the themes of Bria Shemayim Va'aretz, it's supposed to be Bakesta, Liyam Hagen, everything is supposed to be Mechusa, it's supposed to be hidden. That's why all the themes of Rosh Hashanah are very hidden. If you look in the Matzah, it's such a complicated thing. Try to figure out what are the themes of Rosh Hashanah. You talk about Kabbalah Satori, you talk about Bashiach, you talk about Din, you talk about Gehenim and Gan Eden, Kitzi Yaakovit. Where in the world did all these come from? It's such a conglomeration of different ideas. The answer is all of these have to do with what the Ribbono Shel Olam created before he created the world. And what are the Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Ma'amid, what are the Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam? These are all the themes of Rosh Hashanah. And they're all hidden themes, because the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want that we should speak so much about what happened during the time of Bria Shemayim Va'aretz. But one of the themes is Matan Torah, because on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, he taught him the Sheva Mitzvot and Nefesh. He didn't give him a text. It wasn't the Torah Shebichtav, but it was the Torah Shebaal Peh. On Yom Kippur also, why do we celebrate? There were two days in the year that we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah by the Jewish people. Right? One is Shavuot, one is Yom Kippur. Why do you need 2 days to celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah? So the commentaries explain, especially the Beis HaLevi has a long essay about this. On Shavuot, we celebrate the Kabbalah Torah Shebichtav. The Luchay, the Aseret HaDib is that we're engraved on the Luchay. On Yom Kippur, we celebrate the Kabbalah Torah Shebaal Peh. Because the Luchay Shniyot had much less than the Luchay Rishonis. Many, many, many Midrashim and the Zohar comments that in the Luchay Rishonis, everything appeared, not only on the Ochi Hashem Alkecha, the text of the Aseret HaDib, the whole Chumash from the beginning of Bereishis till the end of Dvarim, and all of Torah Shebaal Peh, everything was engraved on the Luchas. That was the Luchas Rishonis. The Luchas Shniyot only had the second Luchas only had the Atzeret HaDibros, what was engraved on the Luchas Rishonis at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed them. It didn't have Kol HaTorah Kula, it didn't have the whole Torah Shebaal Peh. It only had the Atzeret HaDibros. So on Yom Kippur, when the Luchas Shniyot were given, that's the day on which the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah Shebaal Peh. The original plan was that everything was going to be a Torah Shebichtav. The whole Kol HaTorah Kula was going to be engraved, was engraved on the Luchas Rishonis. And then after the Bnei Yisrael sinned, the Professor Eger, Shabbat smashed the Luchas, the Ribbono Shel Olam said he's going to give two Torahs, the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. So what we celebrate at Yom Kippur is really the celebration of Kabbalah's Torah Shebaal Peh. The Chumash describes on Yom Kippur how the Kohen Gadol offered the sacrifices, everything in order. And we don't follow what it says in the Chumash. So the Torah Shebaal Peh says, you're not supposed to do it like that, you're supposed to change. So why does the Chumash write it in it doesn't say the Farish the wrong way in the Chumash, but it's so vague as to mislead you to believe that you do it in a different fashion. The Torah Shebaal Peh says, no, you don't do it the way it sounds like in the Chumash, you do it differently. The Avodah is divided into 5 units instead of 3 units. It doesn't say that in the Chumash. So the Chumash said, maybe that's the reason why. Because Yom Kippur is that day of the year that we celebrate Kabbalah, Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give a din where the Torah Shebaal Peh tells you something that you would never dream of in a million years just by looking at the Torah Shebaal Peh. It looks like it contradicts the Torah Shebaal Peh. So it's in between these 2 days of Kabbalah HaTorah, in between Rosh Hashanah, when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave. That's why in the davening on Rosh Hashanah we talk about Atzeneg Leitz Ba'amen, because we talk about Kabbalah HaTorah. Who forced me not to go Kabbalah HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah? Zog Atzeneg Leitz. Talk about Kabbalah HaTorah on Shavuot. What do you talk about Kabbalah HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is Rosh Hashanah, we celebrate Kabbalah HaTorah on the Adam HaRishon. That's not Negeta. So we speak about Kabbalah HaTorah Har Sinai, but Kabbalah HaTorah is one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah. One of the hidden themes, all the themes are hidden, everything is Bakesef, because it's from the first 6 days of Sheishes Mei Bereishis. But Kabbalah HaTorah is one of the hidden themes of Rosh Hashanah. So we have Atzeret HaMetzuvah sandwiched in between these 2 days of Kabbalah Torah Shebaal Peh. The day of Rosh Hashanah, on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon the Torah Shebaal Peh, and Yom Kippur, when he gave the Bnei Yisrael the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh is very different. Those who study Gemara know the Torah Shebaal Peh is very different than the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh is very choppy. You have isolated dinim, and you don't know how to put them all in together. You don't get a good perspective. You can study Chumash from today till next year, you will not get a good picture, a good overall perspective of what's going on. The Torah Shebaal Peh already broadens out everything. It takes it in, and the Torah Shebaal Peh declares that Kol HaTorah Kula Minecha, that all the laws of the Torah form one mosaic and one big pattern, everything has to blend in. You have a din that's written in Chumash, and you get to one mitzvah, you assume that it applies to all mitzvah. How do you know you have to have the pitim up and you shake the lulav and the esrik? Because it says so by the Mishkan, after Shittim Omzim. The wood for the Mishkan is standing up, but then we learn out from the Lulav. What does the Lulav got to do with the Mishkan? The Halacha says that all of Yisrael had to fits into one pattern. You have all the Arba Avos Nizikim, you have a fellow slips on a banana peel in the street, that's a board.
And the Bora, you dig a Bora in the ground. How is a Bora not? There are others and they were told us. We generalize and we broaden out, we make a whole picture with a whole perspective. That's the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's exactly why this season of the year was determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that these are the Aseret to make Shuvah. The Iker of the Averis, all the Averis come from the fact that we have a distorted picture of right and wrong. We think we're doing everything right. Some people know they're doing wrong, but most of the people think they're doing right. We're doing mitzvahs. We're doing a lot of mitzvahs. But we have a distorted hierarchy of which mitzvah is more important than which. So we have a conflict, which one takes precedence. So the Aseret to make Shuvah, the days that are sandwiched in between the 2 days when we celebrate Kabbalah, Torah Shabbat Peh, this is that season of the year which is more mitzvah for us to understand what the proper perspective should be, how to figure out what the hierarchy is. And it's the Gemara's comment that G'doylo tshuva shemekareves as ha-gevula. The Gemara says that when people do tshuva, it hastens the gevula. What is doing tshuva got to do with the gevula? The Gemara quotes the post of the volume, King Goyel, and the Shavei Pesha B'yakov, when the Jews will stop doing our ways, when they do tshuva, then the volume King Goyel, the Moshiach will come. What does that mean? G'doylo tshuva shemekareves as ha-gevula. So the Mefarshim explained, what is the definition of gevula? What does it mean, gevula? Gevula means when there's a distortion and you straighten the things out. Gula means, let's say, the Jewish nation is supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. Now, there are very few Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Less than 50% of the world Jewish population is in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gula means, well, things will straighten out. The picture will be back the way it's supposed to be. I'll take, for example, Gula in Chumash. What does it mean, Gula in Chumash, the Redinim? If I sell you a house in Eretz Yisrael, I sell you a field in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah sometimes gives me the right to buy back the field from you within a year, within 2 years, and so on, even later. Or sometimes Allah says, I'll sell you a house and I never buy it back. But sometimes Allah says, when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, when it comes Mishnat Al Yovel, then Vishap Tanisha Lachuzosver, I get back my house. That's called Geula. Or when a person is sold as an Eved Ivri, a person sells himself as an Eved Ivri, as an Eved Ivri. And then it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. So when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, then it's Geula. The Eved Ivri goes free. What do you mean goes free? The normal situation of a Jewish person is Ki Libin Yisrael Avadim Alay Avadim Avadim. A Jewish person is not supposed to be an Eved to someone else. This is the distortion of the picture. When it comes Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur has the power of Geula to straighten out the picture. The normal thing is that Eretz Yisrael was supposed to, Eretz Yisrael derives its Kedusha from the fact that it was divided Lachalok to the various Shvatim, and within every Shevet, every individual person got his share. And the Gemara says in Masechet Erechim that before they divided all of Eretz Yisrael amongst the individual members of every tribe, it wasn't endowed with its full Kedusha. The full Kedusha is only when everything is divided. So what happens if you've divided everything and I sell you, if someone is interested in buying up all real estate, I sell it. So you should say that the Kedusha disappeared. The answer is no, but I'm going to get it back. When it comes to Kippur Shel Yovel, I'm going to get it back. That's called Geula. Geula means when everything returns back, when everything straightens out, and it returns back to its original situation. But that's why the Mefarshim explained Yom Kippur has this special power. Yom Kippur, the day of Kabbalah, Torah Shabbat Peh, this season of the year has that special power, that special ability, that people will look into the Torah. That people will try to learn a little bit more Torah. We all should learn a little more. I'm talking to myself, I spend all my day in yeshiva, I can still learn a little more Torah. A little less politics and a little less Torah would be better for everybody. But we all have to learn a little more Torah. And learning more, especially learning more Torah Shabbat Peh, will give us a proper perspective of the mitzvahs to know exactly what the hierarchy is. And in that way, we will not be misled by the substance of Zayman al Yamin al Sitno to do this Givaldiga mitzvah. Yeah, there's a conflict in the mitzvah. Today, the other mitzvah takes precedence. You have to know what the hierarchy is in order to know which mitzvah takes precedence. I wish everybody had marcha in the table, shvol b'zeichet to the gula of Yom Kippur and to the gula ha'atzimah.
Before you leave, everybody,